It is the miracle of eternal life that comes with new birth. When Jesus comes, he writes in one place, Jesus says in one place, I am come that you may have life, he says in John. And that more abundantly. The reason why I'm here is so that you may have life and that you might have eternal life. That means that when the Lord saves me, he gives me eternal life. And that new birth comes, it is by way of, it is a spiritual move that God does in my life. When the power of the Holy Spirit stops working in you, such that it keeps drawing you to God, then here again, like I said, you need to check and see if not, if the Lord has left you or not. John the 6th chapter. And about verse number 26. Jesus had said to 5,000, and he's not only fed them, but he's also healed them. Look at John 6th chapter and about verse number 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Mm-hmm. So he has healed them. He's been healing and delivering all day long. And then he has them sit down and he feeds them. About verse 10, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass. So the men sit down and number about 5,000. There's another place where he feeds 7,000. Just the men. You notice it says the men are 5,000. They weren't out there by themselves. It's 5,000 men plus their women, their wives, their children, and everybody who's with them. It's just counting the men. And anytime the Bible says the men, it's everybody who's 20 and over. So all the young boys and all the other people, there's probably 10,000 people there. They're with them. And he says in this, and he took the loaves and he gave thanks and he distributed to disciples. To them that were set down, and likewise to the fishes as much as they would. And then in the end, they gather up the fragments and they do all that. Then, the next day, the day following, verse 22, when the people stood on the other side of the sea and saw there was none on the boat save the ones where the disciples were in, and Jesus was not with the disciples. About verse 24, when the people saw that Jesus was not there, neither the disciples, they took shipping, they got in a boat, and they came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And Jesus says in verse 26, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the fish of the loaves and the fishes. And this is the loaves and we're filled. This is the danger that we have I love miracles. I need miracles now. I wish God, the power of God, would go out to this neighborhood and break every yoke and drive out every evil spirit and save these people. I wish God would move in these people's lives in whatever way God would deem necessary and save, that they would be saved. Some of them will probably have to be crippled to be saved, but whatever it would take to save them. Save them. But it has to be a move of the Spirit. You know why? So this is why it has to be a move of the Spirit. I'll tell you why. Because if I had Jeff Bezos' money, I could make all their Christmases great. Mm-hmm. I could bless them myself.
Yes.
If I had Murdoch, the Fox person who owns all Fox, Branson owns Virgin Airlines, I could bless the people myself. They have enough money. When you got $256 billion, you could give every person in this city $10,000. Mm-hmm. Bless them yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what welfare programs do and social programs. And I'm in favor of them. I'm not against them. You have to feed the people somehow. Mm-hmm. I'm in favor of them. But it's not a blessing that goes into eternal life.
Not a spiritual blessing.
Not a spiritual blessing. What they need, and so Jesus says to them, he says, you only came because you got the earthly blessing. He said, that was easy. He said, you know, what you needed to come to me for, because he says in this, Not because you saw the miracles. In other words, you didn't come because you saw a move of the Spirit. It hasn't even dawned on you. You don't really care about the Spirit, but because you did eat of, you got the blessing. So you don't care about the Spirit. How many people up here this morning that I'm looking at? You don't really care about the Spirit. The only blessing on your mind is what you is when God, you go to the mailbox and you got a check that you weren't expecting.
Yeah.
Which I'm not knocking. Hey, right. Send me one.
Lord, amen.
Every day out of yeah. You know, it's good to be, I'm praying right now, the Lord would heal so many people. God knows, if anybody wants people healed, it is me. But the reason why I want you healed is twofold. One's because of my love for you, but even more so, I would love to see the Spirit move. I'd like to see the people's faces when you walk in healed from head to toe, and they know there's no way that can happen except by God. Well, you know, this body has remarkable healing qualities of its own, and it's just able to heal itself and do it. No, I mean, heal you to the point where there's no getting around it. It has to be God.
God, amen, yes.
Has to be God. Like the man by the pool of Bethesda, like the man by the gate, beautiful, like the blind man, like Lazarus, who's dead.
No,
has to be God. Jairus' daughter, has to be God.
Yes.
I want to say, so Bishop, you're asking God for too much. No, I'm not. There's nothing too hard for God. You ask. There's nothing too hard for God. I'm asking God to move in the Spirit in this neighborhood. I'm asking God to move. There's nothing too hard for God. The problem is, we keep saying, well, you know, if you really want God to move, what you got to do is you got to. I'm not saying there are not some things we need to do. Jesus told the disciples, he said, make them sit down.
Yes.
Then he says, take it and distribute the food and do these things. That's true, but God's working with them. Except the Lord build a house, they labor and bang to build it. Don't I know that?
You need God to work with you. That's right.
You need the Lord to work with you. Mm-hmm. And then on these jobs and in this economy, people sitting around telling me another, it's not that I'm not concerned, but I'm not worried because I know who I depend on. Mm-hmm. I'm not depending on the government to deliver me.
That's true.
To feed me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, I'm depending on God.
Yep.
Well, if I get a job, I know I got to go. And I got to work, I got to do that, but I'm still depending on God.
Yes.
You really want something from God. You want to live better. Ask God and then obey God.
And obey. Yeah. And obey.
Trust God.
Trust God.
The devil will keep you strung out forever. He'll do even worse than that. He'll do everything he can to separate you from God. I'm looking at the people who are the members of this church in various places. And I'm looking at how the devil's just playing games. I'm wondering how long the Lord's going to let him do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because God is the one who allows him to.
Yes.
And he does it for their sake. And I just look at him and say, how long are you going to let the devil keep playing a game with you?
Yes.
You're not improving. You're not growing. You're not being better. How long are you going to let the devil keep playing games with you and God?
Yes.
And then he stands back and accuses God. Well, you know, God could deliver you if he would. You don't owe God nothing. You ain't doing no better than you're doing. Look at it. All these people being blessed. You may as well go on. That's what he tells people about taking a drink.
Yeah.
You may as well go on and take a drink. Ain't nothing happening no way. You may as well go on. Ain't no way you going to church this morning. You ain't got nothing. Look at all these people around. You ain't got nothing no way. Ain't no need of you praying. You prayed. Didn't nothing happen.
Yeah.
You know, you prayed. Didn't nothing happen. You went there. Didn't nothing happen. The devil loves to say that to you.
Yes.
You need the friends of God moves.
Yes.
The scripture does not say God will draw nigh unto you, so you need to draw nigh unto him. It says if you draw nigh unto God will draw nigh unto you.
Yes.
You have to open that door yourself and allow the Lord to come in and ask God for the Spirit. Stop praying for things and ask God, Lord, I need you to move by your Spirit in my life.
Yes.
I need you to move by your Spirit. I need to know that your Holy Ghost is moving in me. And around me, I need your Spirit moving in my mind, in my body, in my life, and everywhere. I need a move of the Spirit.
Yeah.
I need to be refurbished, rejuvenated, refreshed in the Spirit. I need a move of the Spirit. If nothing changes in my environment, I still need a great move of the Spirit. I need to know that the Spirit is moving.
Yes.
I need to see the Spirit move. Sometimes we need to come to it in God and say, God, you know, I look for a job. I've done this. I've done all the things I can do. That's what I'm doing with this church. We've had our flyers. We've done this. I'm not saying we can't do other things. But no, but you know what? Nothing has worked because we need the move of the Spirit.
Yes.
We need God to move in the Spirit. We preach. We pray. We encourage people. We do a lot of things. Now we need the Spirit to move.
Yes, sir.
The Word of God comes forth. We read the Bible. We read the Scriptures. We do it. We need the Spirit to move. Even among the people who are portions of this church, a part of this church. You need God to change your life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking up here now. Let me see who all's up there. We need the Lord to change our life. We need Him to change our life. Ask God, say, Lord, come in and change my life.
Come in, change my life.
Work some things in my life. Make some things different. Come in. I need a spiritual change. When Jesus comes along, by the move of the Spirit, by the birth of the earth, there's a spiritual change. Time changes. We count the years based on the change that the Holy Ghost makes when Jesus comes along. When the Lord saved me, when the Lord came in my life, when I was born again, time changed. My life changed. I began life anew. I became a new creature. Things changed. You need the Spirit to come in and change things. Come in, O God, and change things by your Spirit. Everything else I'm doing is I'm doing stuff, but it ain't working. I need the Lord to move by. I need a spiritual move. I need a Red Sea parting. I need you to come in and move by your Spirit. I need God to do what I am not
capable
of doing.
Yes.
Not humanly possible for me to do. Like with Abraham and Sarah. And they needed God to do some things for Sarah that weren't possible for humans to do. For Hannah to have a baby at 90, wasn't possible. For Mary to have, for Jesus to be born by Mary, not possible. Need God to come in and move. For me to be born again. For me to be born again. For you to be born again. Haven't you figured out yet that your salvation isn't because you walked down the aisle and you decided? It is a decision that you made. But God did something when you made that decision. It didn't end simply because you believed and you made a decision.
Yes.
God had to do something.
Yes.
If you were born again at all, it's because God did something.
Yes.
It didn't end with just your stepping in and say, well, Lord, save me. I believe in, you know, and you had to do all that. I repent of all my sins. You did that. That's what you need to do. And then God did something. And if all you got out of it was what you think you did, no wonder you're not saved. Mm. And no wonder you're not strong in God.
Yes.
You think you're doing this yourself.
Mm.
Oh, I get up, I go to God when I want to. I can do this. You think you're doing this yourself. You haven't figured out yet that if you're saved, it is of the Spirit.
Yes.
And not you.
That's true.
Amen.
We are saved by grace. It is of God. It is not about not what we've done. Maybe that's the problem. You think you saved you. Maybe that's the problem. You think that you're saved because of what you're doing. Well, I guess I'll go for God, you know, because I want to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
No Holy Ghost. We're trying to get people to change and do things and without realizing, you know what you need? You just need to be born again.
Mm-hmm.
You need. I'm not saying you were never born again. But somewhere along the line, you know, because David knew that the Holy Ghost could leave him. He said, take not your Spirit away from me.
Yes.
Somewhere along the line, you have let God go.
Yes.
Some people along the line, you've let God go.
Yeah.
You haven't lost the knowledge of God.
Yes.
You haven't lost the traditions that you had, the church traditions. You still know how to, you know all about church. You know all about the preachers. You know all about all these things. You know about the Bible. You know about you haven't lost the knowledge of God, but you've lost His Spirit.
Yes.
The problem is you have lost His Spirit.
Yes.
You still know about heaven. You know about hell. You still believe it. But you've lost His Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You're like the Jewish believers. The Jewish believers never stopped believing in God. They never stopped believing in heaven. But they lost the Spirit. The Spirit no longer dwells among them, because without Jesus Christ, the Spirit doesn't dwell in you. And that the knowledge is there, and everything about it is there, but you don't have
the Spirit.
And without His Spirit, no eternal life. One last scripture, Romans, the 6th chapter. And everybody knows where I'm going. Romans chapter 6. Chapter 8, I'm sorry. Romans chapter 8. And verse 9. But ye are not of the spirit, but you are not of the flesh, but in the spirit. You're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. If so be that the Spirit of God, talking about the Holy Spirit, dwell in you now. If any of you have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of you. Have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse 9. If I read it. But ye are not controlled by your sinful nature. You're controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. If you've been around, you still have the knowledge of God. You remember, you know, how you grew up in God. You know where the church is. You know what you're supposed to do and all these things. But you no longer have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. There's no urgency for God anymore. You do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you tell the Lord, well, Lord, I shouldn't have done that. But there's no change. You see, with repentance comes a change.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that sometimes you repent of things and don't go back and do them again. I've done that too. But you still, repentance comes a change. There has to be at least an intention.
Yes.
An intention to change. There has to be at least a consideration that I need to do things differently.
Yes.
You can't repent when you know all along, but I'm not going to do anything differently.
Yes.
I wish I had that, but you know how it is, Lord. That doesn't work like that.
Mm-mm.
There has to be at least an intention or at least some consideration that what I have done is not acceptable to God, and I need to do things differently. And if you will not allow the Spirit to show you that when you get to a point where you don't feel like that, then the Holy Ghost, then you no longer hear the Spirit in any way. And like I said, that's where people stop coming to church, is where people preach about hell. You don't want to be reminded of it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want anybody to tell you if you don't live without it, you're going to hell. You don't want to. And as nice as we try to be and love people into heaven, we try to do all that. Somewhere along the line, it has to come across. If you won't live for God, you're going to hell.
Yes.
Someone has to, you know, you have to, that has to be there somewhere. It has to be said, maybe not, you know, it has to, might be said in a nice way, but it has to be, it has to be known to you. You have to know that there's a recompense, there's a reckoning that comes with not obeying God. You need to know that. There's a judgment that comes with not going along with God. And there's a reward, a great reward, a reward that's greater than we could even consider for being in God.
Yes.
It's beyond our wildest. I mean, try as we can't contemplate what heaven is like,
no,
what eternal life is like. Mm. It's beyond our ability how great it is.
I have not seen. That's right.
Yes, it is.
That's right.
But it is there. And when the Holy Ghost dwells in you, I'm almost done. That's what he does. He reminds us. He points out to us. That's what his job is. When the Lord saves me, it'd be unfair of God to save me save me from my sinful self, who is all I know, and then not give me some help and learning to live and trying to live godly. It would be unfair.
Yes.
He knows that this flesh that I live in is, you know, he knows that sin is more powerful than my flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Sin is more powerful than my mind. Sin is more powerful than my natural spirit. Sin is more powerful than that.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing stops me from being under the influence of sin until the Holy Ghost comes.
Mm-hmm.
I needed a power greater than the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the reason why it says in there, the power it says the law of the Spirit has set me free from the law of sin and death. That means the power of it. The way of the Spirit is greater than the way of sin, than the power of sin set me free from it. It broke sin's power. It's a spiritual move. And if there's no move of the Spirit, then you've never been set free.
Yeah.
You were just convinced and persuaded. You're convinced and persuaded that there is a better way, but it never became yours.
Yes.
No change. It was a powerful argument that the preacher made. Made sense at the time. But without your yielding and allowing the Spirit of God to come in and work the changes that the Spirit of God makes, you were never His. Until you ask the Lord, Lord, come in and save me and make me yours, and Lord, I surrender unto you and I'm yours. There has to be a surrender. It might not be those words, but there has to be a sincerity and a knowing that, Lord, from this time forward, I belong to you. I want my life in you, and I want you in my life. That has to happen. And the Spirit comes in, and He does something just as real and as powerful as when he overshadows Mary and Mary conceives. The Spirit comes in, and He changes me. And this is when that I am born again. This time, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. The Spirit baptizes me in Christ. The Spirit causes me to be born again so that God becomes my Father. There's a change. It's not just something we say, and it's nice, poetic, and it sounds like some great metaphor. God is my Father. No, it's a reality. And when He comes, you know the difference.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Likewise, when He leaves you, you know the difference.
Yes.
Because the burning fire that you had for the things of God, that's the Holy Ghost fire. And when that fire leaves, so has He.
Yes.
It's gone. When that fire leaves, so has He. Sometimes it'll cool down, like Paul told Timothy. He said, you have to stir it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you poke a fire, literally. You have to stir it up. You have to bring it to life. And the devil doesn't want you to stir it up. He knows. No one here is old enough to know except me, and even if you're old enough, you probably didn't have to ever do it. You might not know it, but anyway, it's not just the stoves down south in the living room that at night you had to bang them.
Yeah,
that meant that you closed all, what you did was you closed most of the air off from the coals that were in there, not all of it, but most of it. So that there could only be so much oxygen flowing, so that the fire would continue the oxidation that's caused by fire. That process would continue, but very, very slowly.
Yeah.
So that through the course of the night, the coals would not burn up completely. They just smolder. And when you get up in the morning, you just put some new coals on top of them, and you stir it up so that the hot coals come to the surface among the new coals, and you open it up so all the oxygen comes in, and the fire just comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to start it all over again. You keep it smoldering. You know, this is in the Bible, of course, and this is when they say, keep your lamps trimmed and burning.
Mm-hmm.
You turn them down really, really low so that when you get ready to start, you just turn them up, and the oxygen hits them, and they crank up. And in us, we can get to a point where the Holy Spirit is still smoldering in there, but if you didn't know what you were doing when you banked the fire and you cut off all the oxygen, it would go out.
Yes.
Or if you didn't add more new fuel to it in time, eventually it will burn out.
Yes.
And it's that way in God, that way in the Spirit. If you don't keep adding to the Spirit, the Word of God,
that's right,
add praying in the Spirit, calling on God, worshiping God, thanking God, being among the people of God, glorifying God, eventually your fire will burn out.
Yes.
And there will be nothing there. Yeah. And you'll come into the house of God from time to time, and you'll try and throw new coals on it, but no fire.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll feel like, well, I went to church today. I'm glad I went to hell.
Yeah.
But you go back to your same problems, your same woes, your same everything. No fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? You didn't have anything to build on. Your fire went out. Your coals went out. You didn't keep them going. The Spirit has gone out. There's nothing there. It's nothing to build on. Nothing there. I want to encourage everybody today. As we're going towards this Christmas season, which I love, this Christ time of season. Christmas is not just an event that happened. It's not just a nice pageant or a Bible story or all these things. It's all these things, but it's more than that. This is Christmas until Jesus Christ's resurrection. Christmas is the most, Jesus Christ being born to the Virgin Mary, and choose whatever month you want. If you don't want to use December, it's fine, but just know that he's born. Until Christ's resurrection from the dead, Jesus being born of the Virgin Mary is the greatest move of the Spirit that happened since yes. creation.
Yes.
Since Genesis 1 and 1, and God said that, since that time frame, the biggest event that God, the Holy Ghost, does since that time is not parting of the Red Sea, it's not bringing people to life, and none of those. The biggest event is just absolutely not done by anyone and impossible, and done strictly by the Spirit. And I like it too. Do you ever consider that, Elder Smith? You notice when the Holy Ghost says, when the angel says to Mary, he says, the Holy Spirit is going to come, and he's going to overshadow you. You notice God didn't send a prophet down to lay hands on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, people, you have nothing to do with it.
Yep, yes.
I don't even want you involved.
Yes.
I'm going to send my angel to tell her about it, and the angel ain't going to touch her.
Yes.
Say, well, is there a situation where an angel ever touched people? Yeah, there was. Say, where was it? I'm so glad you asked. Anybody know? Anybody know?
Jacob or the...
No, that was God with Jacob, huh?
When he slew all the people?
That's true, too, but... The situation where an angel came in and delivered Isaiah. An angel takes a coal off the altar, off the Holy Ghost's fire, and flies over to Isaiah.
Yeah.
Puts it on Isaiah's mouth because he says he's a man of unclean lips. And the angel goes over. And then you have the situation of the angel in the pool of Bethesda where the angel disturbs the water and does those things.
Yeah.
But in Mary's situation, the angel does nothing but tell her about it. No one has anything to do with Mary's conception except the Holy Ghost. He says the Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you, and you're going to bear a son. He's going to do it. Nobody's going to lay hands on you. Nobody's going to preach to you other than what I'm telling you. And you're going to know that what happened to you, you're going to know it's God.
Yes.
Absolutely know it's God. We need to have a situation in our lives, and we want the Lord to come and work in us in the Spirit and move in us, and maybe someone might lay hands on you. Maybe they won't. Maybe this will come in one way. We don't care how the Spirit moves, as long as the Spirit moves. But I need the Lord to move in such a way so that people have, so that no one can sit back and say, well, this is what I did.
Yes.
Nobody prays for Mary to conceive. Nobody fasts for Mary to conceive. Mary doesn't pray to conceive.
Mm-mm.
Joseph doesn't pray. Everybody, the people who are involved, Simeon, Anna and all of them, they're just praying to God. Send deliverance. All the people of that time that are God, the only thing they do is just praying to God. Send deliverance.
Send deliverance.
They don't know that it is the time. It doesn't matter. They're just praying, send deliverance. But the Holy Ghost does all the work. We need the Lord to move for us. Like he moved during this time frame when he gave his son Jesus Christ. When Jesus was born, this is a great thing. It's a great move of the Spirit. You need the Lord to move. I need the Lord to move in me like he did when he saved me. I need to call to remembrance when the Lord saved me. I need to sense the way that the Spirit felt when the Lord saved me. You need to sense the way that the way you felt when the Lord saved you. You need a renewing. We all need a renewing. We need the Lord to come in.
Come in, Lord.
We need a move of the Holy Spirit. All right. Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, touch your hands over today, Lord. Move by your Spirit. Lord, move by your Spirit. Lord, we want to see a move in the Spirit. Yay, Lord, we want to see a move of the Spirit. Yay, Lord, we want to see a move of the Spirit. Lord, beyond all we're able to ask or think, we need to see a move of the Spirit. Stretch forth thy hand, O God, and move by your Spirit. Move by your Spirit. Lord, touch Elder Angela Rogers today. Move by your Spirit, O God. Lord, touch Elder Angela Jenkins today. Lord, move by your Spirit. Lord, we need to see a move of your Spirit. Lord, in Promise Church at 716 Edge Street, Lord, put a church in this building. Lord, we need to move by your Spirit. Lord, stretch forth your hands all around this neighborhood and throughout. Move by your Spirit. Lord, move in us who are here in the mirrors of Promise. Elder Smith, Elder Reed, Minister Smith, Bishop Smith, Deacon Cadogan, those of us that are here. Lord, move by your Spirit. Come in, Holy Ghost. Move by your spirit for everyone who's on Zoom today, Lord. Lord, Sister Faith, Lord. Sister India, Lord. Mother Webb and Sister Deadmire down on the lower corner. Not sure where you are, but Lord, move by your spirit today. Stretch forth thy hands, Lord, and move by your spirit. Lord, move by your spirit today, O God. Lord, we want to move in the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Oh, God, move by your spirit. Lord, heal us. Lord, deliver. Lord, stretch forth thy hand, O God. Touch us, Lord, by your spirit. Lord, move by your spirit, O God. Heal and deliver, O God. Build up. Lord, convict. Lord, move, Lord, by your spirit. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, move by your spirit today, O God. Heal and deliver. Lord, I pray, Lord, wash us and cleanse us and deliver us. Lord, stretch forth today. Move by your spirit. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
And Lord, we'll give you all the glory. We'll give you all the honor. Lord, we'll give you all the praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You give glory. And God, for everybody here now this morning, Lord, touch your hands with us this morning. Make a home. In the name of Jesus. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. You're a liar and the father of it. And I come against you in Jesus' name. Loose your hand in every place that you have of you. Loosen in the name of Jesus Christ. I invoke the name of Jesus Christ, who has power over all things and the power of the Holy Ghost. Loosen in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
And in the name of Jesus. Thank God this morning for all of the album. Thank God for the word of God.